بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, the very first lesson and one of the most important lessons we learn from the whole Hajj experience is the lesson of unity and brotherhood. And Islam advocates, Islam promotes this concept of brotherhood through every act of worship. The rules of caring for your neighbors, the rules of visiting the sick, helping the believers and maintaining relations, all of this promote the concept of brotherhood. Islam promotes collectivism. Islam does not promote nationalism and individualism. The very first task that the Prophet ﷺ undertook when he came to Al-Madinatul Munawwara was the construction of the masjid. So the masjid featured as the cornerstone of the foundation of the new Islamic state. The masjid serves as a central power facility that generates spiritual energy. This energy is then transmitted to the receptor organ, the heart. Your iman lies in your heart, so with every visit to the masjid, your iman is energized. Understand why you come to the masjid. This is no ordinary structure. Every time you enter the masjid, your heart experiences an infusion of spiritual energy. You may not perceive it, you may not feel it, but every time you enter the masjid, it is happening. The transformation of glucose into energy takes place in the human body. But we do not perceive the change, we do not perceive the transformation, but it is there, it is happening. Understand why you come to the masjid. Nevertheless, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embarked upon this project of building the masjid before undertaking any other task, because the Muslims should first establish communication with Allah and develop a relationship with their Creator. Because every other task and every other endeavor will earn success if a successful connection is established with Allah Azza wa Jal. ثُمَّ آخَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَيْنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. The very next task that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undertook was that he established a bond of brotherhood between the Sahaba. The Sahaba were divided into pairs and every pair was declared brothers. فَجَعَلَ جَعْفَرَ بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ وَمُعَاذَ بْنَ جَبَلٍ أَخَوَيْنِ. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established a union of brotherhood between Ja'far ibn Abi Talib and Mu'adh ibn Jabal, between Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Kharijat ibn Zuhair, between Umar ibn al-Khattab and Itbar ibn Malik, between Abdul Rahman bin Auf and Sa'd ibn al-Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa an kulli sahabati ajma'in. Now this begs the question that why the urgent need to establish a bond of brotherhood between the Sahaba. This was critical, this was absolutely important, because the first relationship that was established with Allah through the construction of the masjid, that divine relationship is supplemented with your relationship with your fellow Muslim brother. In other words, perfection in your relationship with Allah can only be achieved once you have developed a perfect, harmonious relationship with your fellow Muslim based on love. And this fact is borne out by many sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi." Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, "La tadkhulu al-jannata hatta tu'minu wa la tu'minu hatta tahabbu." In yet another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Akmalul mu'minina imanan ahsanuhum khuluqa." All these ahadith categorically confirm that your iman, the spiritual relationship you share with Allah, can only reach its perfection, it can only reach its intensity and its ripeness once you have developed a harmonious relationship with your fellow Muslim brother. A relationship that is free from conflict, a relationship that is free from jealousy, a relationship that is free from hatred and malice. Turn to the lives of the Sahaba and you will find that they were grand masters in the field of love and tolerance. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established a union of brotherhood between Abdul Rahman bin Auf and Sa'd ibn al-Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Sa'd ibn al-Rabi', the wealthiest man of Medina, tells his muhajir counterpart Abdul Rahman bin Auf, who came from Mecca, "Ana aktharu ahli al-Madinati malan, fanzur shatra mali fakhudhu. وَتَحْتِ مَرْأَتَانْ فَانْظُرْ أَيَّتَهُمَا أَعْجَبْ إِلَيْكَ حَتَّى أُطَلِّقَهَا." Abdul Rahman bin Auf tells Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala who tells Abdurrahman bin Auf that I am the wealthiest man of Medina. I am the richest person in Medina. Allow me to take all my wealth, divide it equally, and you may walk away with half my empire. I have two wives. Tell me which of the two appeals to you. I shall divorce her and you may take her as your bride. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, who is penniless, he only came from Makkah a while ago, and here this handsome appealing offer is placed before him. How does Abdurrahman bin Auf respond? How does he react to this general proposal of Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala? Does his mind start running wild with outrageous imaginations, possibilities and calculations? Does he allow a host of dreams and a wave of excitement to flood his mind as he hears the wealthiest man of Medina offering him half his empire? Today a person purchases a lottery ticket, and by citation of this example, I do not say lottery is halal, lottery is 100% haram. However, a person purchases a lottery ticket, he purchases a lottery ticket for a few odd rands. And by the way, the chance of winning the UK National Lottery is 1 in approximately 14 million. So this person plays the lottery, his chance of winning is 1 in 14 million, but that evening his imagination starts running wild. Just the thought of winning the lottery excites him to such an extent that he cannot sleep that night because of the fantasies that flood his mind. Here Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala who does not tell Abdurrahman that let me have your name, I shall add your name to a raffle, and if your name is drawn, you walk away with half my empire. No. Abdurrahman radiallahu ta'ala who only has to say yes, he only has to say yes once and he's an instant millionaire. But Abdurrahman bin Auf does not want to taint this pure bond. There lurks no ulterior motive in this relationship. No ulterior motive lurks behind the handshakes, the tight hugs and the broad smiles. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala who does not tell himself that let me cash in here. He does not exploit the relationship. He does not exploit the relationship for his worldly interests and material gains. He is not motivated by greed. His relationship with Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala is based on love. Today, before I befriend the next person, I want to know how I can benefit from this relationship. What is there in this relationship for me? How well is the man connected? How will my affiliation to him enhance my image? Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala who makes it known to the wealthiest man of Medina that my gaze is not on your empire. I am not eyeing your money. Barakallahu laka fi ahlikum malik. He reacts and he responds to the proposal of Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala by making a dua for Sa'd. Barakallahu laka fi ahlika wa malik. O Sa'd, may Allah bless you in your wealth. May He equally bless you in your family. May you enjoy the divine barakah of Allah. Keep your wealth, keep both your wives. O Sa'd, let us keep money out of the equation here. دُلَّنِي عَلَى السُّوقِ O Sa'd, direct me to the marketplace so that I may go and make my own money. The day we allowed money to come between us and our family members, between us and our relatives, the day we made the objective of our relationships monetary gain and worldly benefit, that is the day we stopped loving, caring and respecting each other. A relationship that is dependent on something material will cease the day that thing ceases. A connection between two persons that is based on some ulterior motive will lead to nothing but disappointments, because beauty fades away. Common interests grow less interesting. People whose ideas and whose company we once found stimulating become repetitious and unexciting. This kind of a relationship, the one that is based on an ulterior motive, dissipates. It dissipates and almost always ends in a bitter and nasty way. On the other hand, a truly altruistic relationship, a relationship in which two persons bond and fuse with no ulterior motives or reasons. That type of a relationship is eternal. And that kind of a relationship is invincible. Today brothers are not talking to brothers. Fathers refuse to communicate with their sons. Because we have deviated from the objectives of a true Islamic relationship. We are here in each other's lives to facilitate in one another a higher state of consciousness. Understand this, the objective of our relationships. We are here to facilitate in one another a higher state of consciousness. We are here to open each other's eyes to Allah. We don't talk about this. It is not the spoken goal of most relationships, but my brother, that is what is at play. Allah has placed your wife in your life. Wife in your life, right? Sounds nice. There's no life without a wife, sir. Allah has placed her in your life so that you may open her eyes to Allah. So that you may introduce her to Allah. Allah has placed your son in your life. Allah has placed your daughter in your life so that you may open their eyes to Allah and introduce them to Allah. That is the primary objective of our relationships. We are here to facilitate in one another a higher state of consciousness. Abu Idris al-Khawzani, he says that qalbun naqiyun fi thiyabin danasa khayrun min qalbin danasin fi thiyabin naqiyya. That you are better off with a clean heart in dirty clothes than a dirty heart in clean clothes. You are better off with a clean heart in dirty clothes than a dirty heart in clean clothes. المال يفرق بين الأم والولد فذاك أدنى نسيب عند كل يدي. The poet says that money has the potential to cause a separation, to cause a split between mother and child who ought to share the strongest bond. There is no connection between two persons that is stronger and more powerful than the relationship shared between mother and child. But he says, "Al-malu yafruqu bayna al-ummi wal-waladi." That money has the potential to break that bond and to cause such a separation between mother and child that the strongest relationship is then seen as the most insignificant and most inferior relationship. He will part with his mother. He will part with his mother, but he will not dare part with his share of wealth. In qalla mali فَلَا خِلٌّ يُصَاحِبُنِي وَإِنْ زَادَ مَالِي فَكُلُّ النَّاسِ خِلَّانِي فَكَمْ عَدُوٍ لِأَجْلِ الْمَالِ صَاحَبَنِي وَكَمْ صَدِيقٍ لِفَقْدِ الْمَالِ عَادَانِي. When I have no money, my friends are few. When my bank balance hits an all-time low, then no one wants to know me. وَإِنْ زَادَ مَالِي فَكُلُّ النَّاسِ خِلَّانِي. But the day I strike gold, the day I strike it rich, then everyone wants to know me and everyone wants to befriend me. فَكَمْ عَدُوٍ لِأَجْلِ الْمَالِ صَاحَبَنِي. How many an enemy befriended me because of my money. Yesterday he was my enemy, he never turned his gaze towards me, he never extended his hand to greet me, but today the man is prepared to embrace me. وَكَمْ صَدِيقٍ لِفَقْدِ الْمَالِ عَادَانِي. And how many a friend left me the day my money left me. Yesterday when the tide was high, we rode that wave together. Today I'm drowning, but the man is nowhere to be seen. In prosperity, your friends know you. In prosperity, your friends know you. And in adversity, you know your friends. Inni balawtu an-nasa. إني بلوت الناس أرى منهم أخا ثقة في اعتراض الشدائد فلم أرى فيما ساءني غير شامت ولم أرى فيما سرني غير حاسد. The poet says, I put my friends in inverted commas. I put my friends to test. And I found that in adversity, most of them rejoiced. I found that in my adversity, most of them rejoiced, and in my prosperity, I became a target of their jealousy. The relationship you share with the next person, whether it is a good or bad relationship, that relationship is in reality a culmination of the inner feelings that you harbor towards that person. So a bitter relationship is a manifestation of the inner bitterness and ill feelings, while a good relationship signifies inner feelings of love. So generally, our relationships are steered by our inner feelings, and feelings of love, trust and care, feelings of hatred, jealousy, malice, all feelings, good or bad, are associated with the heart. And that is why the heart must attain purity in order for good, positive feelings to be generated. And when this will be attained, the day the heart is purified, then you will harbor no jealousy, you will harbor no enmity, you will harbor no malice towards the next Muslim. And you will in turn enjoy a perfect relationship with Allah. I reiterate what I said earlier, that, or what we learned from the hadith, that perfection in your relationship with Allah can only be attained once you have developed a perfect relationship with your fellow Muslim brother. Abu Atiyah rahmatullah alayhi says, "Dakhaltu ana wa Masruq ala Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha." He says that Masruq and I, rahimahumullah, we came to visit Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha seeking clarification on a certain matter. فقال مسروق رجلان من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلاهما لا يألو عن الخير. مسروق tells Aisha that, oh Aisha, there are two Sahaba of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and both of them do not hold back from any good. They both excel in acts of piety. They are great, eminent Sahaba of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, they are both engaged in a certain practice, but the methods adopted by each one differ. أحدهما يعجل الإفطار يعجل المغرب والإفطار. The first, he hastens in performing the Maghrib Salah, and he hastens in opening the fast. He does not delay. He does not allow a period of time to pass after the sun has set. أَمَّا الْآخَرْ فَيُؤَخِّرُ الْمَغْرِبَ وَالْعِشَاءَ. But as for the second person, he allows a certain period of time to pass. He does not engage in the Maghrib Salah or in the consumption of the iftar meal immediately upon the setting of the sun. So, who is correct and who is incorrect? Who has adopted the correct method and who has adopted the incorrect method? Now look at the response of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And from this we can learn the purity of the heart of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. What does she say? She says, مَنْ يُعَجِّلُ الْمَغْرِبَ وَالْإِفْطَارِ. مَنْ يُعَجِّلُ الْمَغْرِبَ وَالْإِفْطَارِ. We all know the correct method is to perform the Maghrib Salah immediately upon sunset, and to hasten in opening the fast. So what does Aisha radiallahu ta'ala ask Masruq? She says, "Oh Masruq, who is the one who hastens in performing the Maghrib Salah and who does not delay in opening the fast?" She wants to know who is doing it the correct way. She never asks for a single moment, even at the end of the hadith. She does not tell them, "Reveal to me the name of the one who is performing it incorrectly." Now put myself and yourself in that situation. Today I want to know the wrong in the next person. I want to know of his failure. Do not tell me of his success. Do not tell me of the good that is produced by the next person. Because his failure is a source of my joy and his success is a source of my misery. So, on the occasion of happiness of a next person, the occasion of happiness of a Muslim brother, I outwardly congratulate him. There is this outward expression of happiness, but that outward expression of happiness is met with an inner feeling of pain and anguish. And when he suffers a setback, or when he fails in his endeavors, then on my part there is this outward expression of concern, an outward expression of sadness, but that outward expression of sadness is met with an inner feeling of happiness and satisfaction. كُلُّ الْعَدَاوَاتِ قَدْ تُرْجَى مَوَدَّتُهَا كُلُّ الْعَدَاوَاتِ قَدْ تُرْجَى مَوَدَّتُهَا إِلَّا عَدَاوَةَ مَنْ عَدَاكَ عَنْ حَسَدِي. The poet says that every form of enmity, every form of enmity, there is hope that it can be converted into a union of love. No matter what the cause of the enmity may be, but that enmity can one day be transformed and converted into love, there is hope for that to happen, except for the enmity that stems from jealousy. He says the enmity that stems from jealousy, the enmity, the cause of which is jealousy, I don't have hope that such a type of an enmity, that kind of an enmity can ever be converted and transformed into love. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Masruq responds to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. What does he say? He says, Abdullah, yani Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The one who has adopted the correct method is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And she responds, she says, هَكَذَا كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَسْنَعُ. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud has adopted the sunnah method adopted by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is it. She does not make any further inquiries that, hey, who's the other person? Who's the one who's doing it the wrong way? Today, after finding out who has done it the right way, I still want to know who's doing it the wrong way. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'in gave due attention to the purification of their hearts. They gave due attention to the purification of their hearts. They were human beings like you and I. They were not angels, but they developed angelic qualities. And that is why Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ahmad al-Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi writes in his tafsir, وَكَانَتِ الصَّحَابَةُ يَخْتَلِفُونَ فِي أَحْكَامِ الْحَوَادِثِ. He said that the Sahaba, there existed differences amongst them as far as the interpretation of certain events were concerned. There existed differences amongst them. But he says, وَهُمْ مَعَ ذَلِكَ مُتَآلِفُونَ. Despite the differences that they had, as far as certain rulings and events were concerned, despite these differences, they shared and they enjoyed a bond of unity and love. And let us turn to our great scholars and Imam of the past. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, Al-Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, and Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahumullah, both of them maintained different views on many, many, many masail, many matters of deen. But look at the words of love expressed by Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah for Imam Abu Hanifa. لقد زان البلاد ومن عليها إمام المسلمين أبو حنيفة بأحكام وآثار وفقه كآيات الزبور في الصحيفة فما بالمشرقين له نظير ولا بالمغربين ولا بكوفة فرحمة ربنا أبدا عليه مدى الأيام ما قرئت صحيفة. He says in a nutshell, he says travel to the east, travel to the west, travel to Kufa. Travel the entire world, you will not find a more profound scholar than Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. And he concludes by making a dua. He expresses his love and his innermost feelings for Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh by making a dua for rahmatu rabbina abadan alayh. May the mercy, the divine rahmah of Allah perpetually descend upon Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Once Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the son of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, his name was Abdullah. And he comes up to his father and he says, Ya Abi man hadha al-Shafi'i alladhi aktharta dhikrah. Who is this man, al-Shafi'i? I hear you taking his name quite often. Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi tells his son, he says, Wallahi ma bittu mundhu arba'ina sanah illa wa ana ad'u li-Shafi'i. He says, my son, for the past 40 years, I do not go to bed until I make dua for Imam al-Shafi'i. أحب الصالحين ولست منهم أحب الصالحين ولست منهم لعلي أن أنال بهم شفاعة. الإمام الشافعي رحمة الله عليه. He says, I love the pious. أحب الصالحين. I love them, but I am not one of them. لعلي أن أنال بهم شفاعة. Perhaps through the love that I have for the awliya, for the pious, perhaps through the love that I have for them, Allah Ta'ala will allow me entry into Jannah through their intercession. What do we learn from this? That we should have love for our pious. We should have love for the awliya, but we should not restrict that love to a claim. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لِكُلِّ كَلِمَةٍ أَوْ لِكُلِّ قَوْلٍ حَقِيقَةً وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ وَلِكُلِّ قَوْلٍ مِصْدَاقًا. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, every statement and claim that you make, you must practically substantiate that claim. So we need to, one is we claim that we love the awliya of Allah, and we love the pious, we need to practically demonstrate our love for them. So, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, here's Al-Imam al-Shafi'i uttering these couplets. أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ. I love the pious, but I am not a star amongst the galaxy of the pious. Today somebody tells you, your friend tells you, I'm not pious. We say, yeah, you're not pious, man. You are shaitan. Piety does not exist in your dictionary. What does Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal hears these words of Imam al-Shafi'i, how does he respond? He says, تُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَأَنْتَ مِنْهُمْ تُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَأَنْتُ مِنْهُمْ وَسَوْفَ مِنْكُمْ يَلْقَوْنَ الشَّفَاعَةِ. He says, you love the pious and you are one of them. And people will come to you on the day of Qiyamah seeking your intercession. So, they had differences amongst themselves. But those differences were motivated by their inner sincerity. And that is why they shared this internal bond of love and unity. And a slight gesture, a slight expression of love and friendship is so much loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِن مُسْلِمَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ فَيُسَلِّمُ أَحَدُهُمَا عَلَىٰ صَاحِبِهِ فَيَأْخُذْ بِيَدِهِ وَلَا يَأْخُذْ بِيَدِهِ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ فَلَا يَفْتَرِقَانَ حَتَّى يُغْفَرْ لَهُمَا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when two Muslims meet and they extend their hands and they make musafaha, they greet each other. And they greet each other lillah, for the pleasure of Allah. No ulterior motive behind the handshake. They greet one another and shake one another's hands for the pleasure of Allah. This gesture, this slight expression of friendship is so much love for Allah that فَلَا يَفْتَرِقَانْ حَتَّى يُغْفَرْ لَهُمَا. Before they part, Allah forgives all the minor sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. And as we said, this is just one of the many lessons that we learn from the entire Hajj experience. There are many more other lessons to be learned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the love for one and all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the feelings of malice, jealousy, and enmity from our hearts. Let us throw off all these baggages. It is only frustrating us. It is only bogging us down. And allow feelings of love, trust and admiration to permeate the heart. Understand that the path to Allah is trodden by the heart. The path to Allah is trodden by the heart. And these inward sins and maladies prevent a person from treading in this path. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.